Pray. In Jesus' name. Almighty God, we want to thank you for another wonderful opportunity to be here this morning. We know that as we have come to meet with you. And every encounter we have with you is a life-changing experience. Lord, today as we encounter you afresh, let it be a life-transforming experience for us in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we are looking at some of the principles by which we can have a full benefit of our knowledge of you. My Father, my God, as we encourage each other this morning, O Lord, let every word that we are going to be taught become a part of our lives that will yield and bring forth fruits in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to be closer to you, O Lord. Draw us near, O Lord, even as we work hard, O Lord, to get closer to you by your grace. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are looking at prayer this morning. As many of us know, it's been one of the foundational teachings that we've been going through. And so, it has come to the turn of prayer this morning. Prayer is one of those aspects of the ways of life of a Christian. I don't see it as an exercise. Like I said, it should actually be a way of life. Because there are very few things that the Bible tells us to do without ceasing. And prayer is one. Say, pray without ceasing. So if you are going to pray without ceasing, then it means it's a way of life, which means every moment of the day we are in prayer mode. So it's actually our life. And I just pray that God himself will teach us this morning. And that by the time we finish, that our prayer lives will never be the same again. Because there is no point talking about this and just going home to do exactly what we're doing. But I want to believe that by the time we finish talking about this, that God will take us to another level in our prayer lives. As we would see in our bulletin, we try to answer the question of what prayer is. And I like the expression there that says, hanging out with God. You say, hanging out with God. So in other words, being in his presence, fellowshipping with him. And I just want us to contribute towards this. To us, what does prayer mean? Even from personal experience, not the definition that we know, in terms of what prayer has done in your life and so on, what does prayer mean to you? Okay, seeking God. So, that's when we seek the face of God. Yes. What does prayer mean to us? Okay. So that's when you communicate with God. Meeting with God. Yes. Okay. Meeting with God, hearing his voice. Prayer. What does it mean to you? Okay. Expressing our minds to God. Praise the Lord. So, we look at various people, look at prayer in various ways. But we find out that we come to similar things, that there is a maintenance of a relationship with God. And it's not possible to be in a relationship with somebody without speaking to them. So, in essence, prayer involves talking to, listening to, and the third aspect is relating to. So we talk to him, we listen to him, and we relate to him. And of course, prayer takes many forms, or we give different names to, can be different forms, or we give different names to different kinds of prayers. We can pray in our worship. We can pray in our confession. We can pray in our thanksgiving as a kind of thanksgiving as a kind of prayer to God. In praising Him, we have prayer of agreement, petition, waiting, warfare, prevailing, or pray in the spirit, prayer of faith, prayer of commitment. We have different kinds of ways we have looked at prayer. And in preparing for this topic, I decided to look at what prayer means. You see, when we really look at prayer, like many other words in the Bible, when we don't go to the root word, sometimes we are at a loss, because I find out that, just like in my language, when I try to translate it into English, we never are able to actually capture the word, the essence of the word. And I got to realize that three words are used for prayer in the Bible, or three words are translated as prayer in the Bible. The first one is prosikomai. Prosikomai. That's the way they pronounce it. In other words, it means to pray to God, supplicate, worship. That is, make prayer. Pro means to direct to God. Ekomai means to wish, to desire. In other words, the individual concerned enters into the presence of God to make our requests known to Him directly. In other words, the individual banks on their relationship with God. The spelling for prosikomai is prosikomai. Prosikomai. So we enter directly into His presence. I mean, we enter into the presence of God and make our requests known, and make our desires known to Him. It's a kind of prayer. So our heart is directed to God, not the problem. So that is why we go to Him directly, to make our desires known. So the focus shifts from our problem to God, because we know that He is the answer. We know that He is the one who is able to do. That is the kind of prayer that is commonly referred to in the New Testament. There's another kind of prayer, another word that is translated as prayer. Parakaleo. Parakaleo, which is, para means near, beside, or equal. Kaleo means to call or to bid. Parakaleo is P-A-R-A, K-A-L-E-O, parakaleo. Para means near, beside, equal. Kaleo is to call or bid. In other words, is to call or bid someone who is an equal level with us. What is the relevance of this? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus was actually equal with God. In other words, Jesus is God. But he humbled himself and he came down. And that, so when we think of parakaleo, we are talking about Jesus as an equal of God coming onto earth and connecting with God. Now, when Jesus came, he came as man. He came in flesh and blood like you and I. In other words, the humanity in Jesus placed him at our level at that time that he came. So what then happened is this, because Jesus had been with God and he knows God, and the Bible tells us that we have an advocate who has gone through everything that we are going through. So Jesus has come in flesh so he could experience everything that we are experiencing. So he has that equal experience with us, even at the human level. And therefore, he is the most appropriate person, you know, to stand in the gap between us and God. So when you look at John chapter 16, verse 24, he said, "Hitherto, have you asked nothing in my name?" He said, "Ask that your joy may be full." That is why we are able to ask in the name of Jesus, and our prayer will be answered, because Jesus, who is our advocate, he said, "No one else has been to the Father except the Son." So he's been in heaven and he's God and he has come down and he has experienced our difficulties. So therefore, we are in a position where we can call on somebody who has had a similar experience as ourselves to intervene in our lives. So he knows our pains, he knows our temptations, our weakness, our troubles. So he knows both the ways of God and the ways of man. That is another prayer when we relate to Jesus that way. That's why when I look at the first part of this, when it says hanging out with God, so hanging out with Jesus, who has walked the way that we are now walking. The third word that is used or translated as prayer is deomai. D-E-O-M-A-I. It means to beg or petition as binding oneself. To beg and to petition. It often denotes or connotes urgency. To beg or petition as binding oneself. In other words, as I look at this, it becomes clearer. Basically, what deomai is about is that we approach God with an urgent need while offering or binding ourselves as an instrument to be used of God for the prayer to be answered. So we approach God with an urgency. While we use ourselves as an instrument, while we yield ourselves as an instrument that God can use. So we ask God to do something by using us as an instrument. That's deomai. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4:31. So as children of God, when we pray for revival, it's not just enough for us to pray for revival, expecting that God is going to use someone else, right? When we pray for revival, we know it has to start with us. When we pray for conversion, that God begin to convert people in this land, begin to visit them, begin to touch them. When we pray for such, we are not expecting that aliens will come. We are expecting that we will become the instruments in the hand of God. When we are asked that God will heal people, somebody needs to pray for them. We are asking that God will use us to pray for such people. What about deliverance? What about, you know, even baptism of the Holy Spirit? Who is God going to use to minister his Holy Spirit to people? It's you and I. So there is a kind of prayer that you pray, and you are also asking God to make you as an instrument in the answer of that prayer. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Praise the Lord. After that, after they prayed, the place where they were was shaking. There was an earthquake there. The move of God was great in that place. And what followed? The Bible said they began to speak the word of God boldly. They didn't just pray and leave things that way. They pray, they diomai, and became instruments in the hand of God to begin to minister the word of God to people. So, when we pray, and that is why I particularly believe, you know, in James, James says, if a brother be hungry, and he comes to you, you don't just pray and say, God will provide for you. When you know that you have the means of provision, you pray for them and you also follow it up. That is faith that is accompanied by work. So it's a kind of prayer that is accompanied by work. You don't just pray it and leave it there and walk away. And I want to let us know that the Bible is replete with God's promises to answer our prayers. There is over 190 places where God has promised that he's going to answer our prayers. So, it is up to you and I to pray to God. It is up to who? You and I to pray to God to see things happen in our lives, to see things happen in our environment, to see things happen in the kingdom of God, to see things happen in his church, to see things happen, you know, in our community, to see things happen. Because God, I mean, the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? And pray. If we will humble ourselves and do what? And pray. We will bring change to our environment. We will bring change to the place we live. We will bring change to the life of other people. Praise the Lord. Because our prayer has the ability to release God's power. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, the Bible says we should ask. And then what will happen? We will receive. And of course, James 4, verse 2, even goes on to be clearer by telling us, he said, the reason we lack is because we do not ask. So the reason we lack prophecy is because we do not ask for the spirit of prophecy. Okay? The reason we lack healing is because we do not ask for healing. The reason we lack material abundance is because we do not ask for it. That's what the Bible is saying. He said, you do not have because you do not ask. In fact, the reason we cannot pray long is because we have not asked God to give us the ability to stand in his presence and pray for long. So, and I believe that some of us, by the time we are finishing this morning, will be asking God to change our prayer lives. I believe every one of us can make do with a healthier prayer life, to be in his presence. Somebody said, a non-praying Christian is a playing Christian. You are either praying or you are playing. If you don't pray, you will play. But if you don't, and if you don't pray, you will pay. Sometimes circumstances drive us to go and pray. We don't have to wait until situations drive us to go and pray to God. And I can testify to this. I remember when we first started looking after the church of God, a whole lot of things would happen and we would try to solve the problem by worrying rather than worrying. You understand what I mean? We'll be worrying rather than worrying in prayer. Remember, one of the types of prayer that we need to pray is the prayer of warfare. So instead of worrying, we can actually war. And that is where the word of God comes true. He said, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So we go into spiritual warfare. And I want to tell you that God has taught me a lot of things since then. To now know to run to him in prayer instead of trying to lean on my own understanding to sort it out. And I can tell you that the first impression you get is that this problem is like unresolvable. And by the time you take it to God in prayer and you see the hand of God in it, you find out that it's not like it first presented itself. So we can war in prayer rather than warring. Of course, like many of us have always asked, you say, why do we have to pray when God already knows what we are praying, what we are going to ask? You say, but God already knows I'm going to encounter that situation. God already knows that this is going to come. God already knows. And I tell us that prayer is an act of dependency. In the olden days, when people say, I pray thee, I pray you, do this, the lesser goes to the higher. It's not the higher that goes to the lesser. Is it? Even in the world of today, the higher does not go to the lesser. The lesser goes to the higher. The difference is this. It is the lesser that goes to the higher to make request. The higher does what? The higher instructs, commands, directs. Yesterday, I was engaged in a discussion with one of the brothers in the church, and we were talking about, you know, particularly for those of us of another culture, when we come to this place, there's a tendency to see, particularly on the street, or when you listen to the news or something, you know, there's a tendency to see that, to think that the society is not structured. That people behave anyhow. And there is no respect. I found out that it is not true. Please, you can bear me out. You were born in Perth, okay? I found out that it is not true that it is highly structured. But it's often not spoken. It's often not spoken. Like where I work, and I've seen this a lot, I've noticed that, I've been in management meetings and things like that. I noticed that the people who were very problematic, even though people may not confront them, when it is time to renew contract, something will go wrong. They will not get contract again. Some people have had to move interstate that I know. So in a way, there is a kind of structure to it. And people knows when the Australians calling it, they call it pulling rank, isn't it? They call it pull rank. That when something comes, something happens in the office, and at a point, they have to pull rank. When something has to move forward, and the boss will say, look, we'll do this. So the lesser goes to the higher. So there is a sign of surrendering to God. Every child of God that will not go to God in prayer is basically saying, I'm self-sufficient. And self-sufficiency with God is a pride. And God says this. He gives grace to the humble while he receives the proud. So he will give grace to you in the mighty name of Jesus. So it's not because we don't know, he doesn't know what we need. But it's because he wants us to come in surrender to him. And of course, there's no point in just praying. It's not enough to just pray. We must pray with an expectation that there's going to be a result. We must pray with an expectation that there's going to be what? Result. As in James chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous does what? Avails much. It avails much. We'll probably hear more about that down the track today. Of course, in order for our prayer to be effective or effectual, we have to ask according to the will of God. We have to ask according to the will of God. Because the Bible tells us in James, it says one of the reasons our prayers are not answered is because when we are asking to consume it on our own lust, God will not answer that kind of prayer. But when we ask particularly that God may be glorified, be sure that God will answer that prayer. And he will answer you today in Jesus' name. Of course, God expects some fervency as we pray. And the Bible says, it's the prayer of the righteous that will be answered. It's the prayer of who? Of the righteous. Let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. And Proverbs 15, 18 and 29. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Amen. Amen. So Jesus had been made what? Sin for us. Who did not know sin. So that we can come in boldness before God. Because we are now righteous. And that is why we cannot afford to take the righteousness of Jesus in vain. After all that he has done. In fact, when we think of the grace of God, if we look at how big the grace of God is, it should actually be a deterrent. It should actually be what? A deterrent from sinning. Instead of taking it for granted, when we look at how much he has done. You know, as human beings, some people will have done some nice, nice things to us. And by reason of how wonderful they've allowed themselves to be used by God in our lives, we are cautious. We don't even want to offend them. How much more God, who has done so much for us, instead of taking the grace for liberty to do what we like, in fact, it should be a constraint for us to want to be pleasing to God. Let's look at Proverbs 15, verse 8 and verse 29. Proverbs 15, 8 and 29. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. This is one of those areas that is not particularly palatable. A lot of people don't want to hear this bit. 15 verse 8. He said, the sacrifice or the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. That is, it is hateful and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. I like Amplified Version. It says, it's extremely what? Offensive to the Lord. So in other words, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, that the only prayer a sinner can pray is the prayer of what? Of salvation, of repentance. So we can hear the Bible say it. And again, I want to believe that God is preparing us for something different. And that is why we are having all this. So in other words, if we are not living righteous, if we come here and lift up our hands to the Lord, we are wasting time. Not just wasting time, if we are not careful, because it says God finds it offensive. So if we are not careful, other things may even go, may accompany us that we have not bargained for. Let me read it again. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. It's hateful and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. And verse 29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the consistently righteous, the upright in right standing with him. Consistently what? Righteous. We will stand right before the Lord in Jesus' name. And the Lord will hear us. Remember, I've told us we are going to pray concerning our prayer life. That's an area that I believe we can all improve in. And of course, as we have seen, we have to pray God's word according to his will, in whose name? In Jesus' name. I just quoted for us earlier on John 16:24. He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask that your joy may be what? May be full. Your joy will be full in Jesus' name. We can read the other areas there. We can read all the other places in John 14:13-14. He said, whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, you may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Ask, ask, ask. So God is just telling somebody to ask this morning. Ask, ask, ask. And then we must pray in the Spirit. And we know that if we pray according to our flesh, we are not likely to pray aright. That is why we need the Spirit of God. To pray aright. So we must pray in the Spirit that the Spirit of God will direct us. Thank God, because the Spirit helps our infirmity, for we know not how to pray. The Spirit is always interceding for us with a groaning. With what? With a groaning. You know, even when things are beyond words. You know, sometimes things can be beyond words. You remember in the life of Hannah, her situation was beyond words. And all that she could do was to groan before God. She was just there and groaning. To the point that the man of God thought she was drunk. And God answered her prayer. And of course, we know that there are things that can hinder our prayers. Just look at the list there. Sin, unforgiveness, doubt, they can hinder our prayer. A lot of times, some people say they don't know what to pray for. That is why they cannot pray long. That is why, you know, I tell people, I say, if you don't know what to pray for, please pray for me. It's true. If you don't know what to pray for who? Please pray for me. You don't know what to pray for. But I'm telling you, there are lots and lots of things we can pray for. And I want to tell us that one of the things that will help us to know what to pray for is to familiarize ourselves with the Word of God. When we familiarize ourselves with the Word of God, then we know the standard of God. And when things are not in line with the standard of God, we have a duty to bring things in line with the standard of God. So everything around you that does not look like what the Bible says it should look like, you can pray it to be in line with God. So when we look at everything around us, you'll see that we, in fact, you can spend the whole of your life praying. Praise the Lord. So, first of all, let's get acquainted with the Word of God concerning every facet of the life we live, every facet of the life around us, every facet of the life of our community, every facet of the life of our country, every facet of the life of people we meet, friends and acquaintances, and look at those things that are not in line with the Word of God and begin to pray. You will have a list that you cannot exhaust. So there's so much to pray for. So pray for yourself, those in authority. Let's pray for one another, even our enemies. Pray for the sick and the troubled, the family, the church, the unsaved. You know, there are many people we can pray for. There are many things we can pray for. The words of God, the words that God has spoken that we have not seen come to pass. Pray for it. Ask that it comes to pass. Ask that it be manifested. And God will do it. Prayer. Prayer. Lastly, in closing, I'll just spend the next 2 minutes to ask us so we can share with each other. What are the things we see as barrier to our being able to pray? What are the things, I'm talking about being physically actually praying, you know, what are the things that stop us? Sin is one. So when we sin, we cannot boldly go into his presence. You know, it's a major thing. I know that. That it's a major thing. When we are not right, we can't go boldly to his presence. And when sin start to linger on, it becomes a way of our life. The Bible says our prayer becomes what? An abomination. It's extremely hateful. God just detests it. That will not be your prayer today in Jesus' name. Your prayer will rise unto him as a sweet-smelling savour. So in other words, there are some God is interested in the prayer of some people. He wants to sniff it. It's the aroma is so good that God cannot have enough. He just wants to, you know, it's, you know what I mean? When you have very nice perfume, it comes and God is delighted, because that's what God says. He said the prayer of the righteous is his delight. When we are delighted in something, we want to hear it over and over again. I remember I went out, I mean, way back in, was it 1988-89, I think, we went out to watch a particular musician play. And there was a song this musician was known for. When he was playing every other song, everyone was calling out for that song, that he should play this other song. So eventually, he said, once I play this song, he said, the party is over. So eventually when he played the song, he finished playing, everyone saying he should replay it again. And he played it over and over again. In other words, the people delighted in it. They wanted to hear it over and over again. So when it's God's delight, in other words, he's not tired of it. He enjoys the prayer of the righteous. Yes, what are the other things that actually stop us? Praise the Lord. Exactly. Praise the Lord. So, in other words, when we are limited by our physical state and we resign ourselves or limit ourselves to our physical well-being. So everything is okay. I check my account is fat. My kids are healthy. They are going to school. I eat 3 square meals. I start my car. It starts in the morning. So when we limit ourselves to all this, and we think we have arrived, then we are not likely to pray. And if we are not careful, that can be pride. That can be what? Can be pride. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Yes, what are the other limits, limitations? Some practical things, we know it. Let's talk about it. So we know that you know that you are not the only one. I know some people who, if they have to pray, they know that once they lay their heads down, they are going to sleep. They stand up. You know, we've done it before. Some of us from Africa, we've gone through this before. We know how we used to pray. And suddenly, what's happened to us? Why is the light gone out in our prayer life? You know how much you prayed. You know, some of us, we know how much we prayed before we got out of Nigeria. And as soon as we arrive here, we stop praying. And it's next to nothing in our prayer lives. In fact, we begin to say, look, it's not that hard. Christianity is not meant to be that hard. You're taking it too seriously or something like that. But before, we used to take it seriously. And it is because of our limitation, like you said, when we look at our physical environment and everything seems to be in place, and then we say, okay, we'll rest on our oars. But like you said, the days are evil. And the Bible is actually saying that, you know, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. And I've told us that the way the devil would defeat the children of God is not by opposing them. You see, when he opposes you and he does not allow you to get what you want, you will pray him out. The easiest way for the enemy to overcome the children of God is not to even oppose you and let you have everything you want to have. And what do you think will happen? You will forget God. You forget because all the mundane things we are used to praying for, once they've been met, we are no longer bothered about seeing the kingdom of God grow. We are no longer bothered about seeing souls saved. We are no longer bothered about, you know, having people healed. We are no longer bothered about people having encounter with God. Look, all that needs to happen is for the devil not to oppose. And we'll be complacent. I've told us the story of Brother Nyum before, the heavenly man. You've read that story? Okay, the heavenly man. The Christian community grew in China within a few years to about 50 million people. Do you know how they grew? From home cells. Because they dare not worship in the open. And I told you when I was at Swan, by the grace of God, God used us to start a prayer meeting. Such that even pastors started coming to the prayer meeting. And one thing that we discovered, and each time they will come and raise the prayer point and say, let's just thank God that in Australia we are so free, we are so this, we are so that, you know. And one day, it just gripped my spirit. And I told them I've stopped praying that prayer. They said, why? I said, because the shackles of the enemy with which he's holding people is so invisible to them that we are not. I said, how many people have we discipled? How many people do we have the boldness to minister to people to talk about Christ? We don't. Not because we are going to be arrested. It is more because of our own convenience. We don't want people to be politically correct. There are those things that the enemy uses to hold us back. More than the people who are being persecuted. In fact, where the gospel is being persecuted, you find out that the gospel actually grows in those places. It is in the places where there is no persecution that complacency sets in. And you see that the gospel will not grow. Even if it grows, it will be the adulterated form. You think you are having the real thing, and you are actually not having the real thing. What you have is a dot. We carry it around and bandy it, and we think it's so wonderful. And it is not. And that is why, look, The Holy Spirit will teach us the rest. Praise the Lord. I think we should end here. Any questions about prayer? Because I can go on and on and on. You know, I'm just getting excited. How do we get back to praying the way we used to pray? I think one of the major things that I think it's necessary is for a redirection. A redirection in the sense that I think before a lot of people came to the Lord, they came to the Lord for various reasons. And if you came to the Lord because you are looking for an admission, for example, and God gives you the admission, what else do you need God for? Except we start to understand the reason why God has drawn us to himself. That they are more fundamental than the physical things we can see. Because all the other things will pass away. Until we see, look, if our focus is the kingdom of God, for example, we are not going to stop praying until we see the kingdom of God come. But if our goal is something that is temporal, as soon as that thing is accomplished, then there's a weariness. I'll give you examples of people. I've known people who have worked hard in the academic field, and all they want to be is to become a professor. And once they become a professor, they become deflated. In fact, they become lost. They don't know where to go again. And a lot of Christians are like that. So once those needs that make us pant after God are met, we tend to stagnate. And I think it's also applicable, even in Australia, that there's going to be a redirection to the kingdom of God. And we'll find out that we'll keep praying. If the reason we come to God is for his kingdom, our fervency will be sustained until his kingdom comes. Can anyone else think of any other reason? Any other way we can redirect ourselves back to that fervency that we used to know? Can anyone else think of any other reason, way? That is one way. Pray for each other. Pray to strengthen each other up so we'll be back. And I've told us that we are going to pray today. Pray for our prayer lives. Praise the Lord. Any other? We need to be determined. Yes. And some of the little excuses we give, particularly relating to the things of God, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad, please. But some of the little reasons we give, we have to think of it in terms of how important do we take God versus how important we take that thing. It's understandable. We talk about practical things. Yeah, it's good, practical. But in God's scheme of things, the way God looks at it is how much importance you attach to this thing versus how much importance you attach to me. That's the way God is looking at it. And that's why God says he is what? He is a jealous God. So when we begin to look at God in those absolute terms, I think it will also help us to know where our priority should lie. So that's where our determination comes in. What is important takes precedence over what is less important. Any other thing? So we'll pray for each other, be determined, change the focus. Busyness. Okay, yeah. Busyness as a reason.
Yeah, we get so busy.
Yes. Okay, so busyness. Busyness. I think when we talk about busyness, I will leave this with all of us to end to to ask ourselves a fundamental question. You don't have to answer it. As you leave church today, continue to ask yourself, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I on earth? You answer it. Because the things we get busy at, the reason we are here will determine what will keep us busy. Isn't it? It will determine what will keep us busy. Ask yourself why you are here. And God will view. By the time you answer that question truthfully to yourself, then it will help us to make some adjustment in our Christian walk with God. Praise the Lord. I know our time is fast gone. Please, can we rise up on our feet? I will try and keep to time today, even though we'll spend this much time. Let us rise up. You are going to pray for your prayer life. All of us, we are going to pray for our prayer life this morning. Father, I want your hand upon my prayer life. I want your hand upon my prayer life. That's our prayer this morning. God, I want a touch of you, a touch of your hand upon my prayer life. Touch my prayer life from today. Change it for good. Change my prayer life for good. So that I would desire every opportunity to pray and fellowship with you. I would desire it. Father, I want a touch. I want a touch of my prayer life. Touch my prayer life from today. Change it for good. Change my prayer life for good. So that it will never be the same again. Change my prayer life for good. Change my prayer life for good. Change it to a situation whereby it will begin to glorify you. Change my prayer life. Turn around my prayer life, Lord. So that I'll be praying prayer that will connect with you. Turn around my prayer life, Lord. Turn around my prayer life. So that I will be one who will pray. Not only when there is something urgent in my life, but I will pray because I enjoy your presence. I will pray because I enjoy your fellowship. I will pray because I enjoy to please you. I will pray because I want you to delight in me. Touch my prayer life. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, we have had your mind on prayer. My Lord and my God, everyone that has heard me today, turn around our prayer lives for good in Jesus' name. It's not just the kind of prayer we pray when there are people there. I'm talking about a prayer that signifies the level of our fellowship with you. A prayer of delight in your presence. Lord Jesus, turn around our prayer lives from today in Jesus' name. The kind of prayer that will be effective and change the world around us is the kind of prayer I'm praying that we'll be able to pray from today. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. That will be our testimony. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord.